It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this Moran Monday, the final Moran Monday of March 2022. It is the 28th day of March 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the Great Globe Round, and whatever time it is you listen when you listen to the podcast. Yes. Hi, I'm Robin, and I'm at the end of the weekend, I'm ready to go, I'm ready for another week of programs, but, oh, God. I hate it when the news of the day is overtaken by stupid current events. And it has been a Moran parade all day long because of what happened last night at the Academy Awards. And it's probably almost impossible not to get into that at some point in time, but I'd rather not. Because, well, not so much the nuts and bolts. Never mind, I'm getting ahead of myself. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So that means we send out thanks to our 28th, 27th, and 26th of the month subscribers. Thank you to Randy Radar, and thank you to Charlene and Rogues Island. Thank you to Suman. Thank you so much to Robert in Australia. Thank you so very kindly indeed. Thanks to Ralphs, and thank you to Earther. This is how we keep everything going. Those are the thank yous. Here's the reality, the brutal reality of an unfunded week last week and 4 days broadcasting this week. The hole is $1,700 deep to get us out of March. You know, when there's just a couple of days left in the month, we just pile it all together and count down from there, because if we go day by day, we're kind of doomed. So to finish March, we are at $1,700, and I don't know how it's a mystery. I watched Shakespeare in Love this weekend. I needed a little bit of, well, whatever. It's a mystery. I love Jeffrey Rush. Let's see, 170 people at $10 and we're good. Anyway, the new PayPal interface is at the main page of HeadOn.live. It's just a little yellow PayPal button. You click it and another window opens, and it's super duper double plus easy. And I hope we can knock things down. To be honest, it was not a great weekend. I didn't leave the house Saturday. I didn't leave the house Sunday. I stayed under the covers and shivered. Because it is brutal. I know, it's worse. It's bound to be worse somewhere else. Probably the upper Midwest, Wisconsin, Minnesota. Hi, Jessica. New England, maybe. But when you've just gotten done paying a $700 power bill for 1 month, it just feels like a kick in the teeth when this shit happens in what is at least technically spring. And so it got down to 20 last night, and it's getting down to 19 tonight, and propane's gone, and it's really miserable. And I just kind of, like I said, stayed under the covers and then thought, then I hollered for Annette, not at, but for, and I said, "Hey, honey, come on, let's watch the Academy Awards." And she said, "Well, that sounds like a good idea." Little did we know! Rich people behaving badly. But I do have to say this because language means a lot to me. And so consequently, I saw a headline earlier today file this under how not to write a headline. Fight breaks out at, this is the headline, fight breaks out at the Oscars when Will Smith curses at Chris Rock for joking about his wife. This is what happens when copy editing dies. Because that is not even remotely accurate. One, it was not a fight. Dude got slapped. No fight broke out when Will Smith cussed out Chris Rock. He had already slapped Chris Rock and then went back and sat down in his seat and cussed him. And then the prepositional phrase, for joking about his wife. That was not a joke. That was a vicious attack, a verbal attack that has roots that are 6 years long and deep. And file it under play stupid games, win stupid prizes. And here I am talking about it even though I didn't want to. But this is the journalism end of things. There is not a correct thing in that entire headline, but there it is. And I have seen, and it's more of a, in many ways, it's more of a sociological phenomenon. I'm not nearly as interested in the event itself as I am in the response to it, because all of a sudden, everybody had an opinion about it. And it's funny because it was funny in real time, not funny, but funny, because you had a lot, you know, there are a lot of people who don't, really necessarily get what goes on in a broadcast, and I certainly don't know what happens in something as complex as that live presentation, but I know what a dump button is, and I know what it means when they put up the static image that says ABC, the Oscars, and you don't hear anything. Because what it boiled down to is they were not quick enough on the dump button. Because I saw Will Smith reach all the way back into Arkansas, or no, more accurately, West Philly, and slap the taste out of Chris Rock's mouth. And it was kind of like, wow, that's a thing that happened. And some people are like, well, people came down on both sides of the aisle, you know, sarcastically going on Facebook to mark themselves safe from Will Smith. But Jada Pinkett, well, look, this is, like I said, this is the kind of thing I want to actually inquire into. It's in the past. What happened happened. The pontificating and the think pieces in places like the New Yorker and the Atlantic will go on, oh, Jesus, probably until the six-foot-tall sentient race of cockroaches that replaces humanity will probably still be writing about it 10 million years from now. Because, you know, the cockroaches did survive the asteroid that wiped out the dinosaurs. Crafty little buggers. But when I see something like this, I tend to examine my own character. I tend to examine my own behavior. Because I have done... Well, I've looked at life from both sides now. And I have engaged in things like that, kinda, sorta, for similar motives. And so I immediately began playing a bit of a thought experiment with myself. Stop that. And one of the things that I wondered was, what would have been the outcome if instead of Will Smith, it would have been Laverne Cox, and instead of Chris Rock, it would have been Dave Chappelle? Because I know what my response would have been. I would have been sitting there saying, get him, girl, get him. There is a video clip of that neo-maxi Zoom dweeby and otherwise toxically and hilariously stupid person, Ben Shapiro. Remember the guy? Well, I've got a wife and she never gets wet. That guy? But there's video of him on a panel on some kind of video sitting next to a trans woman and proudly declaring that he, by God, will never use a preferred pronoun because those are really men. It's a man, baby. And the trans woman leans over and says, now you're going to stop that, Benjamin, or you're going to leave here in an ambulance. And he believes her. Because she is believable. And it was very easy for me to watch that clip and say, oh, if only. But I didn't think of either of those two things. The first thing I thought of, come on, work with me here. The first thing I thought of when that went down was, huh. That is definitely not Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, in a Will Smith suit. Because I guess it's just the nature of how we operate here and the things we think about. Because I do remember back when Genghis Khan was saying shitty and tawdry things about Heidi Cruz, remember the investment banker from Goldman Sachs, who for reasons known but to her and possibly something resembling a god, she married Ted Cruz and you know. Genghis Khan just sleezed and slimed all over her. And we had conversations on this program in which we said, you know, I don't think I would let that go by. Or, you know, when Nitwit Nero started attacking Mika Mouse.
She came to Mar-a-Lago bleeding badly from her face.
And I'm thinking, Jesus, Joe, and you call yourself an Alabamian. So it's complicated. And it did engender some, see what I did there? Some reflection. And I mean, people got into their camps in a hurry. Stephen New York says, subject line, them. I would like to go on record as not caring in the least about the narcissistic, self-filleting circle jerk that's called the Oscars. I really don't like these people. What other group of people gets together to fillet each other on TV for everyone to watch? These are not artists. These are well-paid clowns and court jesters. Some of them are pretty fine actors, and one of them is Will Smith. And it's... the most touching moment of the entire evening was when they... And sad. Jesus, it's sad. They wheeled out Liza Minnelli. Observing the, 50th anniversary of Cabaret, for which she won an Academy Award, and deservedly so. And she's so frail. But she had Lady Gaga standing there next to her, who leaned over and in one of the most beautiful moments says, I got you. It was a beautiful thing. And when Liza called out the name for Best Picture, the house erupted in cheers because it was a fine film, Coda, that yielded up another milestone insofar as now a man and a woman have each won Best Actor who were deaf. Now, Matt in San Francisco says, in a world of Will Smith's, be a Lady Gaga. She was pure class. So was Jessica Chastain, who won Best Actor in a female role, or whatever we're calling it these days. She actually bothered to mention the fact that, hate is spreading like fucking poison ivy all over this country for, that group that I talk about a lot. The slap heard round the world, Flavio says, and the Oscar goes to Japanese television and Australian television. I don't know what to think. There are a lot of people who think it was staged. Me, I just thought the joke was unkind, given Jada Pinkett has alopecia, an autoimmune condition that makes you lose your hair, and I can't help but think of my late mom who lost her hair after cancer treatment and how I would feel if someone cracked a joke about her. Thankfully, she did that herself, quipping, looking into the mirror, oh, look, I look just like Sinead O'Connor. Perhaps Smith should have waited until after the ceremonies and had a word with Chris Rock then. Or Angelo in the People's Republic of the Bronx said he did it because it was Chris not Rock and not Dwayne the Rock Johnson. I don't think Dwayne the Rock Johnson would have said something so utterly odious, totally tacky. And like I said, this has all been a bit of a reflective moment for me because that's the only way that any good comes out of this. So, yes, Ted Cruz, yes, Laverne Cox, yes, what if, but also this. We had some good laughs last week in the context of some really vile and vulgar and ugly, ignorant, stupid, biased, bigoted questioning from... Marsha Blackburn, goodness, of Tennessee, the senior senator, oh, Jesus, in which I and some other women in the community had some fun at the expense of Marsha's coiffure. And it made me wonder if that was okay. Because we are all at least beginning to question some previously deemed de rigueur behaviors, tawdry and toxic though they may have been. You remember last week when Scott in San Diego brought up the "You look better in a sweater washed in wool" light ad? Remember that? And I pointed out that even though it was a grainy and blurry old ad taken off of a TV, that you could notice as the women walked across the street in their woolite washed sweaters, that one of the guys wolf whistled and another cat called. Hopefully, That is no longer acceptable, although it still happens. But people understand that the people who do it are bad people. And so I asked myself, and maybe it was just a pathetic attempt at rationalization, whether pointing out Marsha's tequila hair was the same thing as what Chris Rock did to Jada Pinkett Smith last night. I don't think it was. Because Marsha does not suffer from any condition of which I am aware that makes her look, makes her do her hair up in such a fashion that looks like she's been drinking bad Mexican gasoline all night. But I could be wrong. And so the conflict begins to sort of shape itself. So Lisa's reaching back to Philly for the slap. Did the slap go through Bel Air? Not that I don't know. I didn't watch the Academy Awards, Lee continues. I'm just wondering if the NRA commented that if Chris Rock and Will Smith were armed, it would have been another example of black-on-black violence, or did the NRA miss the opportunity? I was expecting that, too. What shall we do? Oh, Jesus Christ. And the pontificating and the pearl-clutching and the hand-wringing and the breathlessness on both sides. Huh. And I hope I'm not doing any of that. I think if we do anything, we take a chance to reflect and maybe come to understand circumstances a little bit better. I actually did some research and tried to find out what, and so yeah, this was another in a series of digs by Chris Rock at Jada Pinkett and some other women. Okay, that's the best one yet, Darlene. Wait a minute. I was dozing off watching some crap on my iPad in bed and saw the alerts coming in and thought Will Smith had hit Kid Rock, and I thought, good, I hope he beats the shit out of that asshole. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Then when I saw the pics, I was like, hang on, Kid Rock isn't black. Always liked Will Smith and felt that there had to be something more going on for him to do what he did. He's always been an upbeat, happy, and popular actor. So the more I read up about the situation, the more I really can't blame Will Smith. Aside from the fact that Chris Rock's joke just wasn't funny, he was demeaning and making a joke about someone with a medical condition, a health condition. That isn't funny. That stated, not good to see one black guy attacking another. On the flip side, why is one black guy making a vicious, not funny joke on another black guy's black wife? Sadly, doesn't it all just feed into the white supremacist, unwarranted superior mindset? Also, Will Smith is an actor. He may still be coming off his role as Richard Williams, Venus and Serena's dad. Will said that Richard was highly protective of his family. He may have been channeling Richard a bit still. Regardless, I wish it had been Kid Rock that got the shit kicked out of him. Call me petty. No, I'll call you Darlene, just like always. But that sort of exposes the bias that we all bring to these things, doesn't it? I mean, if Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, junior senator from the state of Texas, had said in that incredibly annoying nasal voice of his, wait a minute, am I doing it again? If Donald Trump says another word about my beloved wife, I will come up and stomp a Texas-sized mud hole in his guts. Wouldn't we have respected that? I mean, it all gets very confusing. A reporter asked Joe Manchin, Queen of the Senate, about his son, Joey, running nominally running the family coal brokerage business, because Joe can't do that being in the Senate and all. I mean, we know who's running things. And Joe got his back up and he said, don't talk about my boy. Find another topic. And I don't know if that's just because it's the old Appalachian way of, you know, don't talk about family. Or if, as most of us suspected, that's a topic that really can't withstand just a hell of a lot of scrutiny. We want to think that we are better people than we are. We are not. And everybody has a breaking point. Gandhi had a breaking point. Jesus H. Christ had a breaking point. And mostly we try to keep it in check. Sometimes it gets loose. But I think even though it's a tacky and seemingly superficial topic, might be more there than meets the eye. You know, we look back, especially those of us who love history, and we look back on the era of white dude bros dueling. The trip that I took, what was it, 2015 to New York, one of the things I wanted to do was go over and see the plains at Weehawken across the Hudson River in New Jersey, where Alexander Hamilton had met his end at the hands of Aaron Burr, because that still feels to me like one of those moments in which the future course of the nation changed. We know that Aaron Burr was brilliant. We know that he served admirably as the president of the Senate of the United States, and in fact gave us precedent for holding impeachment trials of, oddly enough, Supreme Court justices that stand to this day. One of the great mysteries of American history is that we do not know what it was that Alexander Hamilton said that finally got Aaron Burr to say, okay, enough, get the pistols. States were moving by then to criminalize dueling, and that's why they went and did it in New Jersey, because it was illegal in New York. Kind of like why, as a young'un, I had to go to Tennessee to buy beer, because it was illegal in Alabama, but the road still went to Tennessee. All these little petty kingdoms with their petty little laws, and none of them necessarily in agreement. Stephen Decatur, the naval hero, for whom places like Decatur, Illinois, and Decatur, Tennessee, and Decatur, Alabama, are all named, killed in a duel with a man whose honor had been besmirched over Decatur having accused him of dereliction of duty during a naval engagement. And it was common. There was a place outside Washington, D.C., which just happened to be the place where you went if you wanted to squeeze off a round at somebody that you disagreed with, and you agreed that they'd get a chance to squeeze off a round at you. Got so bad, there was at least one instance where dudes brought rifles with them for the duel. And we are not that far removed from it. Sometimes we get a little frustrated when we see people in, say, the Congress, well, you know, my friend, the esteemed minority leader, and, you know, we plebs out here, we said, he is not your friend, now stop that. And we feel like it's a hypocritical display. But it's there for a reason. Because passions run high, and the next thing you know, somebody's getting all dead. It was a Southerner who, I can't remember the names now, who so viciously beat an abolitionist Northern member of Congress that the man nearly died. Honest to God, I think we are one hairy knuckle away from the cave people. That, and you know what? The cave people may have been better behaved. This is more like early sedentary agricultural behavior. And if you dig back into the original causes, I mean, I'm so sick of this debate about, well, can you define what a woman is? Okay, here's one. Let's use the biblical definition. A woman is that portion of the species who can be bargained and sold away to some rando stranger in exchange for some goddamn camels and sheep and goats, no pigs, maybe some chickens, in exchange for the rando stranger dude being able to fuck her. That's who a woman is in the Old Testament. Or that portion of the species, if never having previously had sex, can be kidnapped so that the priestly class can rape the shit out of them. That was the Midianite women. But maybe that's also our problem as progressives, as liberals, Democrats. The fact that we recognize that the world exists in grayscale and not in lurid living color. That what you think is blue might in fact be gray. So, you know, it's worth a little bit of thinking. Flavio tells me Italy's onion, Lercio, Italy's equivalent of the onion, has a headline, breaking, Smith rock spat, LAPD, we wanted to intervene, but we didn't know which black man to shoot. See also, Black Lives Matter. Both of those are too sadly satirically close to the bone. Ayanna Pressley, who was a member of the House of Representatives, tweeted and then deleted her admiration for what happened and the fact that Jada Pinkett Smith is open about her alopecia because Ayanna Pressley suffers from the same. And then there's the larger debate, larger discussion to be had about the beauty standards that we subject women, and particularly black women, and particularly black women's hair to, in order to meet some arbitrary standard of attractiveness. When everybody on the planet is attractive to somebody, it's just a matter of finding the somebody to whom you are attractive. See how complicated it gets? And this is why the Republicans are so goddamn successful. They boil everything down to some sort of naive or cynical or bad faith or hateful essentialism. And the next thing you know, that happened today. Ron Monkey Up DeClantis in Florida, the man who only became governor of Florida with the real live assistance of real live, no kidding, Nazis, signed the Don't Say Gay bill into law. And the practical effect of that, they say, is that, well, we just won't talk about gender or sexuality to kids between the ages of between kindergarten through third grade. Bullshit, they won't. Boys and girls, line up. It's time to go to the cafeteria. That's talking about gender. And they're going to keep doing it. And if little Tiffany says, I have to leave early today, teacher, because my mommy's coming to get me. And the teacher happens to know that little Tiffany has two mommies. Well, teacher is now forbade by dint of statute from saying, okay, Tiffany, that's fine. Which mommy? Nope, that's out. Because everything that takes place within a school setting is some kind of teaching. Even if it's just a matter of teaching little boys not to go and slap the shit out of another little boy because one of the little boys said something about little fucking Tiffany. But no, Ron monkey up Declantis, Rona death sentence, the man with the blood of millions upon his hands, said, I don't care what the Hollywood elites say, I'm not backing down. Boy, I tell you what, that takes some real live, no kidding fucking machismo to say that you won't back down from shitting on children. What a man you are, Ron. What a butch tough guy you are. I won't back down. Tom Petty was a Floridian. By birth, native. But I don't think, I think he would probably rotate faster than the speed of light. I think he would rotate clean through to the other side of the planet if Ron Monkey Up Declantis starts using I won't back down at his stupid re-election events. Jeremy in Vermont says, Chris slapped. It would appear Chris had been asked, warned, not to talk about Jada. In fact, there's video of Smith mouthing out loud before the slap toward Chris. Keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth, Chris asked, and it was handed a receipt. I saw it live and in real time. Keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth came after the slap, unless he told him before. But the fact of the matter is, and this is reality, let me see here. It's been at least 6 years that they're not getting along. 6 years of bad blood. And what a pity that the magnificent work of Questlove in creating Summer of Soul got completely overshadowed by this tawdry event. Interestingly, someone by the name of Elgin Charles tweeted, hair is a very sensitive subject for many women of color, black women in particular. Chris Rock knows this better than most because he produced a documentary called Good Hair that I starred in. Will Smith was wrong, but Chris Rock was as well. Jada was visibly upset. But back in 2016... Chris Rock had needled Jada Pinkett Smith previously. And did so in a particularly tawdry fashion. Jada says she's not coming because she didn't show up because that was the year of the protests over the lack of diversity in the Oscars. Jada says she's not coming, protesting. I'm like, isn't she on a TV show? Jada's going to boycott the Oscars? Jada boycotting the Oscars is like me boycotting Rihanna's panties. I wasn't invited. And she took it as gracefully as could be expected. Hey, look, if it comes with the territory, but we got to keep it moving. We got to keep it moving. We got to keep it moving. There's a lot of stuff we got to handle, a lot of stuff in our world right now. We got to keep it moving. And Rock needled Smith, too. Jada's mad her man Will was not nominated for concussion. I get it, I get it. Tell you the truth, I get it. You get mad. Said it's not fair that Will was this good and didn't get nominated. You're right. It's also not fair that Will was paid $20 million for Wild Wild West, okay? Jesus. I will reiterate my thesis. Comedy that kicks down is never funny. Comedy that punches up is. But oh well, and there, you know, there is disagreement. Our pal Reverbo, the Reverbo, the human man, says, "Phooey, the big picture here is that violence is almost always the wrong solution to most conflict resolution. If Smith really was that bent out of shape over a relatively mild joke, he should have waited until after the show and asked for an apology to his wife instead of an embarrassing public temper tantrum." That's my take for what it's worth. I get that. I think I disagree on the characterization of making a joke at the expense of a woman's medical condition is relatively mild. I mean, how would the audience have responded if Chris Rock had said, "Yeah, and that Marlee Matlin, she's in the audience tonight. She's got an Academy Award. She's so deaf!" Anybody? Because that was the functional equivalent. You know, and there will be the inevitable complaints that, well, you know, comedians have to push the envelope. Yeah, you do. But you're never pushing the envelope when you're kicking down. That's not pushing. That's stomping. So, you know, from the For What It's Worth department. Meanwhile, a couple of notes to get the program started. And, you know, if y'all want to talk about that anymore, we can. If you want to get in the conversation, lines are open, whatever. Earlier I got a note from Ron and Raleigh. I'm sure you've heard that Ben Sasse, oh dear God, the new and different kind of Republican, just like all the other Republicans before him, has said that he wasn't going to vote to confirm Judge Jackson because she refused to say that originalism was her judicial philosophy. As you and I have discussed in the past, that originalism is a bunch of right-wing bullshit. It didn't even exist before the 1980s. I mean, critical race theory's been around longer than originalism has, for God's sakes. Never mind. That's probably not helping. It did not even exist before the 1980s, since the jurists that espouse it are making up shit as they go along. They can say anything, like the right of everyone to pack heat with no permits because of fat dead Tony Scalia, modifying the Second Amendment to suit his interpretation of the amendment, which has absolutely nothing to do with the original intent, because the original intent is in that opening clause of the Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the, et cetera, et cetera. Cory Booker's getting on my last nerve. He said the vicious questioning had nothing to do with racism and that was all it was about. And I think Cory probably, I'm speculating here. I think that's Cory Booker trying to be not so confrontational. Trying to be a, what's the term, happy warrior? Cory Booker has got to know beans when the bag's open. But he's also got to remember that he can't make any of the Republicans sad, or else Joe Manchin, the queen of the Senate, will get sad, and then Joe Manchin will go back on his word and vote no. But anyway, Ron and Raleigh says, since Corey was born the year I graduated from high school, I grew up in the Jim Crow South, and he grew up in New Jersey after the passage of the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act. Perhaps his experience with racism is different from mine. He's also shilling for the crypto coin industry, which is a Ponzi scheme that will only benefit the hedge funders and billionaires. I wish he would leave that Pollyanna attitude and show some fire. I don't know. I kind of used to hate it when I would hear somebody say, "Yeah, but they got to keep their powder dry." This is so freaking delicate, and you're probably sitting there throwing things or kicking the furniture, Ron, but This is the moment when you just try to make sure that Joe Manchin doesn't get pissy. Because then everything goes up in smoke. And I hate it that it's that way. I'm sorry it's that way. But it's that way. It is that way. And by the way, ye morons are amongst us, literally. Joey writes, well, Robin, I don't know if you touched on this last week, but there is literally one moron in Kansas by the name of Jerry Moran, who is one of the senators of that state. The other senator of that state, Roger Marshall Moran, is absolutely no better. Oh, Roger Marshall Moran has an MD degree or something and thinks that that qualifies him to... Oh, never mind. Oh, no, it's Jeffrey already.
Yeah, so at the beginning of Putin's March Madness, when he decided to attack Ukraine for no good reason, but only for the purposes of gaining control of that country to fulfill his own fascist fetish and have access to the crucial seaports, most of the morons suggested that Biden not get involved with that situation because it might lead to WW3. The real motive behind the morons suggesting that Biden should not become involved was because they realized this would anger Putin's political paramour, Donald Trump. More on him in a moment. These senators and House members did not want it to face the wrath of Trump, or metaphorically, this would piss off the Orange Boy Wonder, and he would end up peeing on them with a primary challenger.
Oh, look, it's Junior.
Yep, you're correct, Daddy. The ass-kissing Trumpublicans in Congress didn't want to give this vindictive varmint known as Trump a golden opportunity for a metaphoric golden shower, i.e. a primary opponent to run against them.
Well, that's correct, Junior. These moron Republicans are still beholden to this beast that's Trump and will only support what he demands. Not that I feel sorry for these assholes, but they're like political hostages, and these cowards deserve to be political prisoners, if you will.
Well, good job, fellas. Both Marshall and Moran, after telling the president to get involved, announced that they were going to travel to Poland and Germany to review our efforts in the conflict.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought they told Biden to stay out of this situation, so these two morons are going to fly over to Eastern Europe to discuss a no-fly zone?
Well, speaking of no-fly zones, these flighty idiot Republicans in Congress should have all manner of restrictions put upon them because they have no manners. Oh, the boys are working well today.
Yes, for instance, last week Senator Roger Marshall attacked Biden for his response to the Russian invasion, suggesting that the U.S. should have sent MiG-29s, A-10s, more drones, and anti-aircraft missiles. This hypocritical idiot also chastised Biden for not stepping forward and leading as a strong president should. Marshall then went on to suggest that Biden should be worried about the more important issues, such as the U.S. southern border, not Ukraine's southern border. Oh, my aching head.
Oh, look, our favorite little girl, Joey Two the Kangaroo. I find it quite sad that this man named Marshall really has no plan when so many years ago a man from Kansas City by the name of Truman invoked a wonderful program called the Marshall Plan, which assisted in helping Western Europe recover from World War II.
She is a sweet thing, isn't she? Jeffrey's just so proud.
Excellent observation, Joey, too, because these Republicans in general have no constructive plans, and most certainly the senator from Kansas, Roger Marshall, has no Marshall Plan, except that he wants to destroy the Biden presidency.
And, of course, and I add editorially, because this fits in perfectly, if you want a perfect example of Joe Biden can do nothing right in the eyes of a goddamn Republican, I'm so old I can remember where that old line about politics ends at the water's edge. But this is it. At first, it was, oh, he needs to stay out of it. He needs to stay out of it. So he stays out of it. Oh, he needs to get in it. He needs to get in it. And so he goes to Poland, delivers an absolute fire and brimstone speech, and at the end says, Putin cannot remain in power. You know, which as a metaphysical statement is true? Little dude is, in fact, and he is little, he's a fucking Smeagol, he's a golem. He will see the end of his roads and days, as does everyone on this planet. No one here gets out alive, remember?
And immediately there was a Republican standing there saying, "Oh my God, he's caused an international incident. What do we tell the children? Oh, Jesus." Yeah. So anyway, there's no winning. And then if you watch the multimillionaire for-profit media, it's nothing but a bunch of horse race poll numbers that don't even, you know, 14%, 21% of Americans say that the economy is job one for the president and he needs to do something about the gas prices. I think these polling companies should tighten up their standards a little bit so that people answering the questions should be able to demonstrate some functional level of comprehension of even de minimis economics. No, they'd probably never be able to do another poll, would they? Well, at least they wouldn't be able to do another poll with any goddamn Republicans in them. Shit. Yes, Joey says, the original Marshall Plan was officially the European Recovery Program, or ERP as it was known. This was an American initiative enacted in 1948 to provide foreign aid to Western Europe. U.S. transferred over $13 billion, the equivalent of $115 billion in today's dollars, in economic recovery programs to Western European economies following the end of World War II. The 74th anniversary of this plan will be Sunday, April the 3rd. Good job, Harry Truman. One of the unknown facts about the Marshall Plan, however, is that it was much more originally ambitious. It would have done even greater good than it did. But what? But Republicans, who insisted on paring and carving away at it until it had dwindled to that money. Well, Jeffrey gets the wrap-up.
Is it not interesting how Republicans are more interested in attacking Joe Biden in the White House rather than attacking Putin, the criminal, in the Kremlin?
Sorry, Kansas, but as far as March Madness is concerned, I don't like war hawks or jayhawks or just more-in Republicans like your two senators who've hawked all over President Biden's attempts to handle this crisis in Europe. Much either, so I will be cheering for Villanova on Saturday. This has been Joey's Journal for More-in Monday, the 28th day of March 2022, with Giraffrey suggesting that we should crush the Kremlin. And there's a $10 Crush the Kremlin Challenge on the table, which would be fantastic because it would get us down to only $1,680 to finish the month of March. Brutal, brutal month that it has, in fact, been. I saw the nominations, but I don't. Randy Radar wants to know: did Don't Look Up earn anything? Win anything? I don't think so. Dune did really well. I wish I'd known when I started watching that I was going to have to wait until I qualify for fucking Medicare to see the rest of it. By the way, Frank says, movies and Oscars, they're sinking into oblivion where they belong. We need an active physical battery to even care about the long, meaningless annual event. Oh, I don't know. We watched the event, Frank, and it was just weird. It was kind of disjointed and discombobulated with the desperate effort to sort of, make it more appealing to somebody. With they added the People's Choice of what? Army of the Dead is a movie? Flash joins the Fast People or something like, is a movie? Yeah, oh well. Don't worry, Ron. Mitt Ron says, I'm just old. Going back to the question of actor versus actress.
it probably gets hung on to. Our buddy Dan Fisher addressed this nicely. It probably gets hung on to for awards purposes, but they're all actors. Each and every one. Male, female, non-binary, cis, trans, gay, straight. They're all just actors. And it is a brutally difficult craft. And yeah, I've watched. You change it. Transition will change how you watch the Oscars. It really will. Ooh, that gown is darling. Because tuxes, meh. If it hadn't been for the frou-frou, puffy, poofy stuff on the hemline of her gown, Jessica Chastain would have had the night. But that Tammy Faye Baker thing at the bottom, no. But the whole ombre thing that went from, like, copper to gold to pink to lavender, and it's all shimmery. Cute. Vlad's height, Ron and Raleigh points out, Vlad is exactly the same height, oddly, as Vladimir, which is 5'7", Joe Biden's 6 feet, President Xi is 5'11". Yeah, I guess they grow them short over there. Funny, 6'2 used to be kind of cool, but now it's an impediment to me. Suspiciously large woman and all of that. Flavio says, don't forget Jane Campion's gaffe. A couple of weeks ago at the BAFTAs, the award-winning director in acceptance speech said Serena and Venus did not play against the guys like I have to. Venus and Serena could probably beat 99% of guys out there. Oh, my God, I can't. Apologizing for a controversial comment she made about Serena and Venus Williams, I made a thoughtless comment equating what I do in the film world with all that Serena Williams did and Venus Williams have achieved. I did not intend to devalue these two legendary black women and world-class athletes. Fact is, the Williams sisters haven't actually squared off against men on the court and off, and they have both raised the bar and opened doors for what is possible for women in this world. The last thing I would ever want to do is minimize remarkable women. I love Serena and Venus. Their accomplishments are titanic and inspiring. Serena and Venus, I apologize and completely celebrate you. Well, that's how you do an apology. There's no I apologize if there. It's not a Republican apology. I'm very uncomfortable about something, Steve says. There are not many things we disagree on, ultimately. However, I see a rather large double standard here. I think of a particular person like Bill Hicks, whom I kind of like, who was brutal in telling jokes even worse than anything Chris Rock has done. Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, Lenny Bruce, Jim Jeffries. It just strikes me there's a level of comfort with people doing the same thing as Chris Rock, for instance, as long as the butt of the jokes is people we don't like. Well, that's what I was getting at. And that's on us, not on them. But I'm trying to think about, you know, because I'm pretty well versed in the comedy of Richard Pryor, pretty solid on Bill Hicks. You mentioned Bill Hicks, though, Steve. It's worth remembering that the one thing that got him booted from his last appearance on Letterman was a bit where he came out and said that he had finally gotten a TV show. And he was so excited. And oddly enough, at the time, it sort of presaged the arrival of reality television that was on its way. Because on the Letterman show, he said, yes, I'm going to be hosting a show called Let's Hunt and Kill Billy Ray Cyrus. But I think you can even differentiate in that. Or at least rationalize. It was obviously over-the-top humor. And Billy Ray Cyrus was not sitting on the couch next to Letterman with him looking him squarely in the eye. And that was the other thing. It was the modulation of Chris Rock's voice. Because he pitches his voice depending on the nature of the joke he's telling. It's kind of like a nudge and a wink. Um, And look, let's be clear, I am not particularly a fan of Jada Pinkett Smith. Because, unfortunately, I don't like celebrity gossip. I find it gross. But along the way, just by virtue of, I guess, what I do here, and Annette bringing it to my attention, she completely humiliated Will Smith in public, talking about the extramarital affair that she had, and he just kind of sat there with this sort of constipated smile on his face, looking like he wished the earth would open up and swallow him whole. So, not a lot of sympathy. But for a medical condition, yes. And again, if I were to find out that there was some medical condition that made Marsha Blackburn, as hateful and disgusting as she is, and accounted for her all night long with Pepe Lopez tequila hair, I would apologize. Sincerely. With no ifs, ands, or buts, and no I'm sorry if anyone was offended to it. But I'm pretty sure she's just an awful person because she's just an awful person. And awful persons deserve to have their awfulness called out. And at least if you read Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky, you will find that he says that mocking them is one of the strongest tools that we have. It sort of runs parallel to that old idea of, hey, it'd be great to have a woman president. How about President Blackburn? And then suddenly you find out that the broad general categorization of we need a woman president has some pretty clear red flags around it. Because we need President Blackburn, or President I Wank Him a Daddy Trump Kushner, I don't know, plague. Oops. Yeah. Like I said, busy day. And, we've been kind of all over the place. Speaking of bigotry, apparently, in Afghanistan now, all government employees have to fill in the blank. Sign a statement swearing their absolute total faith in Allah. Be male. C, carry an AK-47 everywhere they go. D, wear a beard. Or E, all of the above. I think we could probably make a pretty credible argument for all of the above, but no, the answer is D, wear a beard. According to Reuters, you cannot work for the Afghan government if you're not wearing a beard. Ta-da. There's also a dress code. And they have to wear the local kit, a long tunic and some sort of blousy pants, and either a hat or a turban. And they have to pray at exactly the right times. And just think, that sounds so goddamn loopy to us. And yet there is a significant plurality of this country, if allowed to do so in the name of Christianity, would do it in a minute. Wouldn't they? Of course they would. And when we say anyone who works in Afghan government, we mean any man. Because, sorry,
women are reduced in Afghanistan to being subject to being bartered in exchange for sheep, goats, chickens, camels. No pigs! In exchange to a guy so he can fuck them. The woman. Maybe the camels if nobody's looking. But yeah, it's a firing offense under the Ministry for the Propagation of Virtue and Prevention of Vice. If you are caught beardless. Oh, these Abrahamic gods and their hang up with hair. Or this Abrahamic god and its hang up with hair. Yeah. And the Ministry for the Protection of Virtue and the Prevention of Vice also says that all parks must be segregated by gender, and 3 days a week, women will be able to enter the park, and the men can enter the park the other 4 days. So even if you have a good Muslim marriage between one man and one object of property, one piece of chattel, you can't go for a stroll in the park together on Saturday or Sunday because the guys have Saturdays and Sundays. Yep. And the Southern Baptists would adopt that in a hot freaking minute. You know they would. Not a lick of difference. Our pal O-Pipe Down over on Twitter says, going back to a G.I. Jane joke is really reaching. I mean, there's an entire generation that just didn't get the joke at all. Took me a minute. To poke fun at something that isn't funny, alopecia, and that the film reference was so irrelevant to anything current indicates to me that Chris Rock really wanted to make a thing about her in particular. It was personal. Yeah. I'm only surprised that there wasn't another reference to Rihanna's panties. Meanwhile, Kim in New York. As a woman, I understand the sensitivity over a joke or insult at the expense of someone's looks, disability, etc., but come on, this wasn't about Jada's feelings. This was about Will Smith's ego and feelings of being disrespected. Unfortunately, Smith didn't have the discipline to handle it in an appropriate way at the appropriate time. Not everything needs to be handled by force or physical assault. In other words, this is another perfect example of toxic masculinity. You know, when it comes to brawling, I think at that point in time, Kim, it can be said that the masculinity has in fact become toxic. Now, if you want to see the other side of the equation, and I have not done this, and I do not advise you to do it either. It's a horrible place, nasty, spidery, creepy, slithery. But go look at the incel. I'll bet you, if you go and look, don't. But if one was to go and look at the incel forums, you know, these are the same people who go out and massacre women because they feel like they're doomed by virtue of their, I don't know, brow ridge or their receding chin or what. That no woman is ever going to be interested in them, so they murder women instead. If you go look at the incel forums, you'll find. Well, I know I've already seen it today. You'll see Will Smith being referred to as a cuck. And apparently, the evidence for that is that he was laughing at the joke that Rock was telling about Javier Bardem and Penelope Cruz. And how Javier Bardem couldn't go home if he won Best Actor and Penelope Cruz didn't.
I mean, it was so seventh grade. And Will Smith was sitting there laughing. And then he dug in real good with a baldness joke on a woman. And it was obvious that Jada Pinkett Smith was hurt. Yeah. And understandably so. So, toxic masculinity? Sure. Because all too often, like I said, when it gets personal, it gets toxic. You're wrong, Brother Deacon Asa tells me. Triple Marsha. That's good, Triple Marsha. 3X Marsha suffers from a genetic condition known as to stupid. Well, it's true. Ignorance is curable. Stupidity is not. Yeah. So, we are into the second hour of the program. And at least in talking about this, we have managed to touch on other topics of more import and actually more intellectual heft. So let's run over to the stress line, see what we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
Do you hear me?
I hear you.
How are you? Oh, God, shut up.
Okay.
Jesus. Not you. The stupid person got it. You know what? I don't know what it is. I don't like Priuses. I don't like people who...
We have them in the community. Don't do that.
I know that, but it's just... It's the Prius drivers in L.A.
Okay, you've narrowed it. It's better now. You've narrowed it.
And they have this attitude, like, I'm so much better than you because I drive a Prius and I love the Prius. And I just, you know, and you're driving a minivan and, you know, you're driving a gas guzzler and you don't care about the Earth and how dare you.
Have you been triggered? Wait. Have you been triggered by a Prius driver, Tracy?
Yes, because I was trying, you know, I was trying to get over, and they just wouldn't let me over. And now I'm in this lane because the damn Prius driver wouldn't let me over because I'm in a Prius, and the world revolves around that. So, anyhow, how are you, darling?
I'm okay. You're going to get me shitty emails, but I'll get over them.
Well, you know what kind of day I've had.
Okay, I know. Let's clarify. Honestly, though, are you really saying that in L.A., people who drive Priuses are more poorly behaved on the highway than, say, some dickhead in a Maserati?
If there's more people driving Priuses than Maseratis.
Aha! Statistical bias.
I mean, but in general, the people who do drive Maserati. Okay, let me hold on. Let me think. So those people that the ones that I do see tend to be actually not so much assholes. There's the one-offs that are, you know, I'm driving a Maserati because I'm trying to, you know, overcome the fact that my dick is the size of my pinky toe. So, you know, I got to rev it up. But typically, you know, because traffic is so terrible in L.A., they can't drive their cars as fast.
Right, and they recognize that they are the automobile they are driving is a cop magnet.
Right, that part.
But you know the old difference or the old joke about what's the difference between a BMW and a porcupine?
I think I do, but refresh.
On a porcupine, the pricks are on the outside.
Right! I remember that joke. Right. About the same. But no, the Prius drivers out here, I don't know what it is about Priuses.
Well, you actually, you've got some love, because down San Diego way, I back Tracy on the Prius drivers, which in our house we call hasty liberals.
That part. There's this sense of like, I'm better than you, and why don't you drive a Prius? Because it's like, you know, if you don't, you obviously don't care about the arrows. Because if you're dead, you'll be driving a Prius too. And to that, I say, fuck you. At least when I drive my car, I'm driving other people around too. Okay?
Well, yeah.
I traffic.
And by the way, Matt in San Francisco says BMW drivers are assholes. That's just a fact.
That's just a fact.
I'm gonna get in trouble. I have a feeling this whole day, this is one of those no win Mondays.
No, it is. Today it's just, you know, and I promised, and I said to myself, and I said to you today that I wasn't going to comment on the whole, you know, Slappergate.
Is that what it is now? Is it Slappergate?
Slappergate.
It's been gated.
To me, it has to be, but you know, white people, and you know, pardon my cross, but as far as toxic masculinity, let me say something to my white liberal friends out there. As far as you know, because I just tuned in a few minutes before, you answered the call, and I heard somebody say something about toxic masculinity, and you know, but let me just peep y'all to the realities of black folks and what it is to be a black man in this country defending black womanhood. Now, do I condone violence? Fuck no. Now, do I understand why Will Smith did what he did? Fuck yes. And let me tell you why. And anybody that knows the history of what it is to be a black man not being able for centuries and even still now to defend his woman or his daughter against assault when it comes to anybody is a real thing. That part.
You know, you're right, because one of the things I neglected to mention, because I wandered off down the rabbit hole of white dudes shooting pistols at each other in the late 1700s, early 1800s, that was white dude bros.
That part.
A black man had no means of defending, absolutely no means of defending his family whatsoever.
Whatsoever. It was a point to rape your, and first of all, you couldn't even call your wife, that part. Your wife and your daughter were considered property to the master. So you could, they weren't even considered your family. And to rape,
We all know what thin, reedy, high, reedy voice Thomas Jefferson did when he went down to the quarters.
Thank you. So you have to stand by and watch your women folk be defiled in front of you, and you could do absolutely nothing. And on the rare occasions that you did something,
you die.
You would be killed. You die. So there's that. So, and then let's talk about black women and our hair. Our hair is a constant source of ridicule. I suffer from alopecia. Okay? It is a source of constant pain for me. And like on the news this morning, more than two-thirds of women of Americans suffer from alopecia. It's an autoimmune disease, the majority of which are black women. Okay? I just went to a dermatologist the other day, and in order to be treated for alopecia, because it is balding, but because they consider it a cosmetic procedure to get treatment for it, my dermatologist has to circumvent shit so I can get tested for the baldness to see if there's a way to get treated, because they don't feel like it's important. Because, oh yeah, it's just cosmetic. Fuck it. It's not cosmetic. It has all to do with my self-esteem and all sorts of stuff that I don't really feel like going into right now. So when any person insults a black man's wife or daughter, you best believe somebody's gonna lay hands on him. Now, should he have slapped the man on national television? No, but I understand why he did, and I need for my white allies not to get their panties in a bunch about what happened, and not throw these come out of your off your perches of your white privilege and say, oh my God, you shouldn't have done that. That's so awful. That's not toxic masculinity. It is not. Fortunately, you know, for Will Smith, he had the privilege of not worried about being, he shouldn't have hit him. No, he should not have. Now, he should have taken him aside. You know, at first I thought it was a bit. When he walked up, he did not, contrary to the report, he did not charge the stage and
there was no charging.
There was no charging because I watched the shit in real time. You and I were texting. And I'm like, did I just see what I thought I saw? And I'm like, girl, what's up?
And Chris Rock said, oh, here comes King Richard.
Right.
I don't know how many people caught that one.
I was in stunned silence. I'm like, what the fuck? You know, I need for my white friends to take I need y'all to check your whiteness. And look at, I needed white people to check their whiteness with the whole whoopee thing. And start looking at stuff from a black lens. Every so often, check your whiteness, and you're probably going to get hate mail from, like you do. And think about what we endure as black people, as black, especially black women, and especially when a black man, for how many centuries, and still, if Will Smith was who he is, what would have happened had he not been who he is? Because, of course, LAPD was fucking lying in wait, hoping that Chris Rock would have pressed charges.
Tracy, where does wealth privilege figure into this?
Big time.
Because the combined wealth of the three of them is north of $500 million.
That part. We're talking long money, y'all.
We're
talking tech of a generation of wealth at this point. We're not talking rich. They're actually in the position that their kids were being able to start possibly, well, we know Jay-Z and Beyonce, their kids are being set up for generational wealth. And I'm pretty sure born, Will and Jada.
Born on third, thinking they hit a triple. Yes.
Right.
But when I say where does wealth figure into it, I'm trying to kind of, because I've been. This is the larger conversation. This is the larger. Hold on. This is the larger conversation worth having. Also worth having, insofar as if you change the dynamic just a little bit, and it's a couple of brothers doing that outside of Burger King.
Well, I'm looking at 20th and Central.
Somebody's going to get shot by the cops.
Right. And somebody's going to be led away in cuffs. That's what I'm saying.
So it seems like the wealth privilege is the determinative moment here.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. If Will Smith was not who Will Smith is, and if Chris Rock, because LAPD was lying in wait, praying and hoping that Chris Rock, because there's like they had a press release. You know, we're there for you, Mr. Rock, if you want to press charges. Now, if Chris Rock had that been Kanye West, Kanye being the bitch punk that he is, that I said it, Kanye would have pressed charges. I said it. I'm not taking it back. Because Kanye is Kanye. I'll walk it back a little bit. Kanye probably would have passed that. Because he's Kanye. Top and ever, Chris Rock, because had Chris Rock pressed charges, and I mean, he had the right to. But Chris Rock was wrong for what he said. Chris Rock should not have said what he said because she is suffering from a medical condition. Period. Full stop. Period. And it's not like nobody knew about it. She's been very open. You know, like Ayanna Pressley, same thing. Very open about, that's why Ayanna Pressley shaved her head. Same reason. Because she has alopecia. And alopecia is no joke. I mean, it's what's so crazy about, like, with my alopecia, it's the front of my head. And so my hairline basically starts pretty much, I'm bald pretty much to my ear. But my locks go all the way to my butt. My locks are so long, my locks are crazy long, but I have hardly any hair. I have wisps of hair in front of my head. It's crazy. So, you know, it's from stress. It's, you know, and that's why my new dermatologist, you know, seeing if I have high testosterone levels, whatever the case may be, you know, they're going to check my thyroid, all sorts of stuff to see, you know, if there's a way to treat my baldness. And so, as a matter of fact, Ayanna Pressley is trying to get a bill passed in Congress that, because they have, some insurance, of course, only PPO, will pay for what they call a cranial prosthetic, which is, you know, the medical term for a wig.
Wig.
Medical wig. You know, it's just a fucking fancy medical term way to say wig, but it's only for cancer patients. But she's trying to get it so they'll pay for patients that suffer from alopecia. But the only problem is, even with the medical, you know, if the insurance companies will pay for it, Medicare won't even pay for the wig for cancer patients. So she's trying to change it to get the law, you know, so at least Medicare will also pay for the wigs for cancer, not only for cancer patients, but for alopecia patients that suffer from alopecia as well. I mean, it's major, y'all. I mean, like I said, two-thirds of Americans? Two-thirds.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fucking people. I mean, as bad as...
And because of the standards that the culture imposes upon women, hair loss in women is actually more traumatic?
Yes.
By virtue of biology, I guess, because everybody's talking about gender biology these days, it seems. It's okay for guys to lose their hair, even though guys agonize over it, too. Some talk themselves into saying, well, you know, I know there are a number of women out there that certainly love it. And you know, whatever. But most... Oh, dear God, I am not... I do not have the image of RuPaul in my head right now. I don't. Problematic.
You do not understand. I don't know how many female horn listeners are suffering for female pattern baldness or alopecia, but to stare, you know, to not even want to leave the house because of my baldness, to literally look in the mirror and burst into tears, to, you know, and to be standing during, listening, you know, waking up and my locks, or I have locks in my on my pillow, you know, three or four of my locks, and just they just fall out randomly, and there's nothing I can do about it.
You might be surprised to know I know a little bit about that. Not the locks part.
You know?
One of the most gratifying parts of beginning my transition was the fact that miraculously, estrogen stopped a lot of it, and some is coming back, but it is very slow, and it's never going to be full, and it doesn't, and the things that dihydrotestosterone did to me on a permanent basis ain't nothing coming back, and it is traumatic as shit. So yes, I get it. I really, really do.
So it's like, you know, so, and what makes it even worse, that for Chris Rock to make light of Jada Pinkett Smith's hair issue, is that he did a documentary about black women's hair called Good Hair.
Right.
Now, he didn't delve as deep into it as he should have, but he did, and he a black man. He's been around black women, so he know what we go through about our hair. Next, motherfucker, please. Ginger, please. So it's like, again, I don't condone him, I do not like black folks showing their asses in front of white people.
Absolutely, because, yeah, I mean, white supremacist Twitter, I'm sure, is just having a field day today.
Oh, they're having a fucking... Have you watched the any of the episodes of the reboot or the reimagining of the Wonder Years?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you see the episode when they're the young man's father and his coach, his baseball coach, are getting into it at the baseball game? And you know, they broke the cardinal because they're arguing with each other and there's white people around. And that's like they broke the cardinal rule of the black community. You don't show your asses in front of white people. You just, because that just gives them more ammunition to use against us. It's just, you know, when you do stuff, there's certain things that we just don't do in front of white people, and you try not to. And I'm not talking about, you know, respectability politics and all that other bullshit. No, no, no. But it's just like, and I don't, I don't care what white people think about me. I'm in an argument right now with one of the very few white friends that I have, because I hurt his little feelings about the incident last night with Will Smith. And he just, and I basically told him, and I begged him, please do not try to argue with me about this. Do not try to last word me about this. But he kept insisting it, and he's like, I don't appreciate you thinking that I'm stupid. And I'm like, I'm not saying that you're stupid, but you will never understand what it's like to be a black man and a black woman in this country when it comes to certain things like this. Just please leave it alone. And he got mad at me because he's like, and I'm like, and I didn't tell him to unclutch his pearls, but I pretty much almost said that. And I'm like, okay. And I said, I don't know if I said something about, you know, this, you know, I just like check your white privilege. I did not, but I get to that point where, as much as I understand, you know, I try to understand, but it is not my job. And I'm going to try to put this as delicate as I can. It is not my job to worry about how my white friends feel when I try to, and I'm not trying to, I can't help you understand my blackness. It is not my job to help you understand me. Not my job. Because it's exhausting for me to constantly having to explain what it's like to be black in America. So when I say, I you're never going to understand and just leave it that way, and then you keep prodding and pushing me to help you understand, that is what Google is for. That is what a library is for. Pick up a book. There's a whole bunch of people that have written, that people who are far more knowledgeable about the subject than I will ever be. Pick up a book and read. And if I'm sounding harsh, y'all, today has just been one of those days that today is just, I've been attacked from people, from friends and family, about things that I have said, and people have just been overly sensitive. But maybe today I am overly sensitive as well. But it's just, it's a lot. And, you know, and then what happened last night, just, you know, and the reaction, and you know, the whole, everybody is just so up in arms about what happened, and to the point, rightfully so, but nobody is talking about how the writers made these two black women look on that show, how they made Regina Hall look like a thirsty, ridiculous black woman when she had called these men up on the stage because I'm a single woman meeting a man. And how they made Wanda Sykes look like an idiot at the Museum of Motion Picture Art. Nobody's talking about that. But yet, everybody's all up in arms, and how a black man walked up on stage defending his wife. But nobody's talking about how they made two black women look ridiculous. How about that? Why is nobody up in arms about that?
I found the whole thing cringy. I did, and the production values were garbage. I mean, bad.
It was horrible.
And I couldn't tell. I mean, it felt, you know, it was supposed to be a live broadcast, but I felt like when they were giving out the so-called technical awards, it was just a bad, blunt jump cut to something that had been recorded earlier that they were, I don't know, maybe they inserted it while they were moving equipment on the, moving set pieces on the stage or something, or.
And what was up with the dancing during the In Memoriam?
I know what white funerals are like. You know what black funerals are like, and I have never seen a production.
No dancing, And
I have never seen a production number. And the old the tired old DJ in me was kind of having a little fit when they're running In Memoriam, and I'm hearing somebody belting out, "When I die, I'm going to go to the place that's the best spirit in the sky, spirit in the sky." I mean, why not Brewer and Shipley and One Toke Over the Line, Sweet Jesus? It's legal. It's California. Why not? But a full-on production number? I mean, I get that for, like, you know, the songs that are nominated for Best Song. I get it. And of course, I can be a little slow. I had to look at Annette and say, why has Jamie Lee Curtis got a puppy in her arms? Is that her emotional support animal? Annette looks at me and goes, no, you dumb girl. It's because Betty White, Humane Society, adopting animals. Please. I'm like, oh, sorry.
Did she really call you a dumb girl?
All the time. Because sometimes she's just kind of amazed at my obliviousness.
I mean, that, you know, but it was just like, but the whole thing, but, you know, the running theme of the, you know, back to the theme of the disrespect and the you know, like the sexualization and making black women look stupid. Like I said, having her, you know, making that, you know, calling these men up. And I'm like, and then if you're going to call up men on the stage, basically sexually harass Tyler fucking Perry? Really?
Sorry.
And then...
Poor reaction on that part.
You know, and then patting down Jason Momoa and, why can't I think of the other brother's name?
Josh Brolin?
Josh Brolin. You know, and it's like they already think black women are overly sexual. That we're hoes anyway. And then to say, you're saying that she's going to take all those men back there and have sex with them? What?
And hey, don't forget the Wanda Sykes tennis shorts men's genitals joke.
Oh, yeah.
And just because Wanda's a lesbian does not mean that's okay.
No.
I mean, it was just it's almost like that was a fitting, except for, you know, Questlove getting fucked over. Yeah.
That was the 2022 Moonlight moment.
Yeah.
At least they set the right documentary, because that documentary was fucking fire. And then if anybody has yet to see it, if you haven't, shame on you. And because if you have Hulu and you haven't seen it yet, but if you haven't seen it yet, please go watch it. Because when I saw it, I cried the whole time, because it's like, to watch all that black excellence, and just, because, you know, everybody was so all up and, you know, all into, everybody knows about Woodstock, and that shit happened, you know, before Woodstock and during Woodstock and after Woodstock, and nobody knew about it. And it was, and the crazy part about it is, that people talked about it, and people talked about it to the point that it was like it was urban legend, Robin, that nobody believed it happened, because how could something like that happen in Harlem? For free. You know, how could somebody bring a festival like that for a bunch of black people, and there was no riots or anything like that? Because, of course, jail. Black people are civilized enough to have a festival when there's, you know, there was no crime and all that. And that, you know, all these artists would come and perform and all that, and no problems broke out. That couldn't have happened. No way. But it did. But it did.
Yeah, and it well, it's kind of like Randy Radar said, I didn't watch it on purpose. Randy Radar said, I didn't watch it on purpose. I win. And somebody just canceled their subscription, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's based on this. Who knows? But, you know, hate that.
You know,
But now King Richard himself has weighed in, issuing a statement. Richard Williams. His son Shavoy Lassane issued a statement on his behalf, saying, "We don't know all the details of what happened, but we don't condone anyone hitting anyone else unless it's in self-defense." And his father was just as surprised as everybody else when it happened. And the funny thing is, I know it seems kind of vapid that the entire country is talking about that this right now, but there is a reason to talk about it, because these are those little cultural mile markers that show us not only where we've been, but where we are and where we're damn well going. And, you know, what the degree to which we claim to cherish free speech, which, of course, the First Amendment is with regard to government action, not private action. But we fetishize the idea of free speech to the point that, well, like I said, we fetishize it so that words used as weapons are okay, but, I mean, so, if, I mean, there are layered thought experiments here. Thank you, Darlene, for passing that along from Richard Williams. I appreciate it. If Will Smith had stood up from the audience and said, "Pretty good, sir. I heartily enjoin you to say nothing further about my wife." Would we be having a conversation? Of course, yes. But there's no winning. There's no winning. I mean, this, when we talk about responses, I mean, I don't know if you've seen it. Did you see the video that came out of the Florida Popeyes last week?
Mm-hmm.
White dude, bro, walks into Popeyes and starts screaming at someone at the counter. And he's not drunk or anything. He's just bawling that word. Repeat it.
Wait, say that one more time.
I made an editorial judgment that I'm not going to play it. It's just too goddamned ugly. And if people want to find it, it's out there. But he comes in and starts hurling that word. And no consequences. In fact, dude says, "I'm calling the police right now." And the guy behind the counter says, "And you think I won't?" And so the Popeyes chain corporation says, "Well, you know, we deplore this kind of behavior." And this is on the, and the deploring statement part came on the day that you can't say gay or trans in Florida schools, and parents can decide which books go into the school library. Because free speech. So where have we been? Where are we? Where are we going? I don't think there's going to be. I don't think there's going to be a rash of comedians getting smacked. Although I did see one funny thing earlier today where somebody said, next week at the Grammys, I now fully expect that somebody better, by God, throw a chair at Justin Bieber, because I think I've become fixated on award show violence.
I told you. So in my family chat, because my family, so somebody chat wrote, I thought I was watching the Academy Awards, not the Source Awards. And for you, for my uninformed white friends, the Source Awards is a very, 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 very ethnic award show.
Ethnic.
Well, also very ethnic.
Is it urban?
It's urban. It's an urban award show, and so stuff like that happening. It's not going to happen. So yeah, something like that. What happened last night. That would be mild. That, you know, but you know, for now. What Will Smith, I'm not going to do the shoulda, coulda, woulda. I am not. Nobody should, you know, if Will Smith, okay, bottom line is, there's something else, you know, I am not a psychiatrist, I'm not a therapist, I just play one on television. Haha. But something else is going on there. There's some underlying issues for him to have reacted that way, because let's face it, people, guess what? We're all human. We are all, everybody at this point is, I think we all are living on the edge, and we are all subject to snap at any given moment. Nobody knows what kind of pressure anybody else is under. And just because people are rich and famous, we don't know what's going on at that, because I think they still live in Calabasas. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors in Calabasas, right? We don't know what kind of pressure that, you know, that Will and Jada and their kids are going through. And, you know, until you told me about what's, you know, just happening in their married lives between Will and Jada, and about the whole infidelity thing. Because again, I got enough going on in Tracy Michelle's quarter life. What's happening here at my house that's keeping me, you know, damn near chewing and mainlining my goddamn anti-anxiety pills right now. I'm chewing those motherfuckers like goddamn chiclets. Okay? So, I got enough going on at my place to worry about what is going on in everybody else's life. So God only knows what's going on in their life. So Will Smith, you know, he's America's guy. So for him to be sitting, you know, 1 minute sitting there chilling at the Academy Awards, the next minute he's walking up on stage, clapping. Walk up on stage, slapping the shit out of Chris Rock, walk back down off stage, sit down, and then proceeds to still kind of cut Chris Rock out. That's something else is going on there. Because, you know, how many times have you gone off on somebody else, but they're, you know, because they're an easy target, but the true source of your pain is somebody else that you cannot react to the way you want to.
Can I point out something here? There was something so ridiculous and over the top about it last night. I feel confident in saying, question. Wasn't Will Smith in the first? No. There was a Warner Brothers cartoon quality about what happened last night. There was a Daffy Duck moment. It was the walk up, not the run up. He wasn't screaming. He wasn't caring. He just walked up, slapped him, turned around, and walked away. That's a very Bugs Bunny thing to do. I'm not defending, but you have to pay attention to these little cultural cues. There was that, and I even heard the music. Dum 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 dum. Slap. Dum 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 dum. Okay. Certain generation.
And that is why I didn't think it was real. That is precisely why, Robin. I'm like, this can't be real.
But we're not done. There was another line he uttered during his acceptance speech. And there was kind of an, oh, no, you didn't. But yes.
He did.
You're an old movie. You're not an old movie buff. You are a buff of old movies. Okay, I don't want to be misunderstood.
You're older than me. God damn it.
So that's not what I said. I said you are.
I'm messing with you.
Yeah, I know. Okay, so being a fan of old movies, and I think you even know this film. Did you catch the direct line from one of the all-time classic films in his acceptance speech? He didn't cite it.
That was when my aunt was going off on me, so I missed it. So go ahead.
Okay, he didn't quote it. He didn't say, but there is a line in Lawrence of Arabia that is uttered by Anthony Quinn playing Alda Abu Tai, where, sitting in the tent, Alda Abu Tai looks at Lawrence and the major and whatnot, and Omar Sharif is there. And Anthony Quinn says, "I am a river unto my people."
Right! Yes!
And I was like, what? Yeah. Cinematic,
And the reason
I picked up on it was because I know the next line. I am a river unto my people, and yet Alda Abu Tai is a poor man. But.
Yeah.
There was some serious egotistical shit going on there. I got a couple of great notes here. First of all, Bernadette, she of the soul-soothing salve Pre's Trees, said, "The Academy shit show. I see things a bit different than this conversation has gone so far. I didn't watch the show, but I do have a reaction to it all. I wrote the following at the Blue Dot Family Board. Will and Jada are public figures. They put their lives and their families' lives out for public consumption. Chris is a comedian. He made a joke about Jada perhaps not knowing about her alopecia. He had to know. I don't know. At any rate, it was a joke. All that aside, Will did what every white person in America fears a black man will do, became aggressive. Yes, he should have had a private conversation off camera. That would have been far more professional. Chris, on the other hand, was forced to be professional and continue the show. Was Chris wrong for making the joke? No, I don't think so. It's his job. And see, this is where opinions diverge. I don't think it was a joke. I just think it was a verbal attack. I also don't think it was written. I think it was ad-libbed. Bernadette says, "We idolize these people, actors, athletes, and the like, because of their work, which they are highly compensated for, when perhaps we shouldn't. Their work is not extraordinary. They are mere humans with faults. That's what Will displayed last night in an attempt to justify his actions in the semblance of love for his wife. It was more a display of rage and loss of self-control. Sad. P. P.S. If I was Chris, just to start some shit, I would have told Will, you hit like a girl, but that's me. On a serious note, Will is damn fortunate Chris doesn't want to press charges. I lost a bit of respect for Will after last night. What he did was not funny. It was assault on national television. Then he apologized to everyone except Chris, and yes, Chris should apologize to the Smiths. Signed, Bernadette. And by the way, for you, Ron DeSantis, gay. I think the word gay should become the word hello in Florida. Gay morning, gay afternoon, gay evening. Just cover Florida in the word. And from Lady B, it's an upsetting topic, but it's been on my mind since last night. It's about what happened between Will Smith and Chris Rock. There's been a lot of internet chatter about who was right and who was wrong for the slap show, the slap shown around the world. I'm among the ones who believe that Chris deserved it. He knew good and goddamned well what he was going to say and why he said it. He's been in the game too long to just read exactly what was on the script. He knew Jada had told the world about her alopecia struggles, something any older black woman who spent years pressing, relaxing, gluing, weaves in, braiding, and other things to make her hair not only aesthetically pleasing to whites, but also to convince ourselves that this is what beauty looks like. I was on that journey. Tracy was on that journey. Every black woman alive has manipulated and damaged her hair just to be considered pretty. Even Lamar can tell you stories about family members and other black females he knows who damn near made themselves bald trying to achieve a type of beauty that very few cultures with straight hair can understand. And what makes it even worse is that Chris made a documentary about black hair. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew it was wrong. He said it anyway. I think he was being deliberately cruel. That's me. Not Lady B. And that's where the hurt comes in. What Will did was wrong and may affect his career. White folks, ones who always scream about how unfair cancel culture is, will make sure Will will suffer some consequences. Many are mad he was given so much time to make his awkward apology. I'm glad they didn't play him off the stage. He needed to say what he said, because it was bigger than the insult to his wife and the slap to Chris's face. Will was describing his pain, the pain of always having to be the nice guy in a world where folks who look like him and are not as famous get shot for holding a cell phone. Will's always been known as the nice guy, funny, friendly, and a big box office draw, tall black guy who doesn't make white people feel uncomfortable. Up until yesterday, he wasn't perceived as a threat. Today, he's practically viewed as a pariah. Love is a crazy thing. To quote Al Green, it'll make you do wrong, make you do right. Whatever people think about their relationship, the rumors that it's an open marriage, how untraditional they raise their kids, whatever, it's obvious he loves her. And as he sat in that audience, a true bona fide contender for the pinnacle of achievement in Hollywood, I think he finally felt arrived. I think it had been hinted enough that he may win after the pressure of almost 30 years of busting his ass and kissing smass to make a name for himself. So to reach that point, to have to take down a fellow black man over a completely unnecessary and cruel joke, this shit is deep. No black woman wants to lose her hair. Hell, no woman does. But for black women, I can't tell you, Robin. We've been working on trying to meet the white aesthetic all our fucking lives. Jada had beautiful, naturally curly hair. She had what we call good hair. A black actress losing her gorgeous hair, that's gotta hurt. It's even more ironic since that was the exact subject of Chris's documentary. Yes, Will should have taken it outside. I don't think Chris will press charges, but it was unsightly, unseemly, disruptive, and downright shocking. And it ruined a special moment for some of the other winners. Like an internet poster said, the first deaf-themed movie to ever win an Oscar got swept aside because of a slap. It was awful. It was also depressing as hell because it shouldn't have happened. These guys are contemporaries. They work in the same field. They know each other. All black folks in Hollywood at least know of each other, if not have met and hang out together. Many helped each other to get where they are. I guarantee Denzel had a talk with Will afterwards, but all many folks, especially many whites, are going to see is that we can't behave ourselves. That we're thugs and don't know how to handle ourselves in polite company. And again, Will may have seriously damaged his career. I hope not. I suggest their respective publicists should stage a public appearance and apology between the two. It's badly needed, and I hope it'll heal some wounds. Will made history not just for himself, but again for black males in Hollywood. He married it by taking out his anger. He marred it, rather. I'm sorry, bad reading, Robin. He marred it by taking out his anger in a totally inappropriate way. But those brothers need each other. They need each other to survive in this crazy maggot world where supremely qualified black female judges nominated to serve on the highest court in the land are scrutinized far more harshly than any white male of lesser credentials who came before her. They need each other, and we need them. Our heroes come in many shapes, sizes, and professions. What makes them all special is that they arose above the challenges our people faced. That's the goal. That's living the American dream. I mentioned I was sick for several months. During that time, my thyroid went wonky, and I had to go on medication. I developed a bald spot, but it can be covered. My doctor said it'll grow back, but still, it shook me. My twin has alopecia, so I feel blessed that I'm able to grow it back, but it's scary. By the way, I went and had locks done, shout out to Tracy, so I won't have to mess with it anymore. I've always wanted to do it. Now is a perfect time as ever, and I love it. I have no answers, Robin. And again, I know a lot of people will disagree with my stance, but this is what I know. This is our daily struggle, trying not to compete with each other, trying not to bring each other down. Our ancestors struggled to overcome much worse than this, and their descendants persevere. We overcome. And if persevering and overcoming is all we can do, I'll take it. It's better than being broken, and more importantly, better than being forgotten. Love to the crew, Lady B. My God. Isn't she something?
God, I love her. She, you know what, and like I said, like basically she said the same thing that I said about, you know, we, by nature, we do not like to air our shit out in public because, like she said, they call it, you know, oh, they don't know how to, you know, I thought, you know, we thought Will Smith was one of the good ones. You know, and it's, we have to act a certain way to be. You got to wear a certain way, act a certain way, wear our hair a certain way. A couple of years ago, because I don't know, I was in the military for a half second. I was in the reserves. I got to, I did some time, you know, before I went away for basic training, and I didn't make it to basic training because I have scoliosis. And so I couldn't, you know, so I got a general/medical discharge, whatever. But in that time, in the 80s, I wasn't allowed to wear my hair in braids. And, you know, my hair was through some trying times. But a couple of years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, there was a picture, an article in the newspaper about this graduating class of West Point. And there was maybe 10 black women who graduated from West Point. And they all had natural hair. They had either their hair was in locks or in braids or what have you, and it moved me to tears, Robin. Because 30, 40 years ago, that would not have happened because it wasn't considered professional. Because I couldn't wear my, you know, because, and the thing is, you know.
You know, when you say, when you say professional, you have to use the Richard Pryor white guy voice. Professional.
Yeah, professional. It was considered professional. But what is professional? And like, you know, like Lady B's letter said, the white aesthetic. You know, what is it about, you know, and it goes back to the young man who, remember that, when that young man, the wrestler, and the referee said that his hair, he couldn't wear his hair in locks, and they cut his hair while, you know, in front of this whole,
right there on the gymnasium floor. Yeah. Hey, Tracy, can I ask you what is that audio in the background? Can you make that go away?
Oh, I am so sorry. I thought I muted this stupid thing. Hold on, let me stop. Why is this mute?
I was looking all over my mixer going, where the hell's the extra audio coming from? No worries.
I forgot that when I was talking to you earlier, I was in the car. Now I'm in the house. I'm sorry.
Well, and in the context of all of this, you know, I mentioned the story in Florida. You know, these couple of hours have been about a hell of a lot more than the Academy Awards. Maybe I should have saved all this for when Dan comes on, because I'll be going over it again, I'm sure. And I almost wrote to him last night, but I figured he might already be in bed. But there's a context that comes with this. We've just watched and are still watching an absolute war on history. And not history in general, but specifically Black history in particular. March is women. Mm-hmm. March, you know, February is Black History Month. March is Women's History Month. And Republicans are out to erase every last bit of it. Under the guise of their dainty feelings. And so here's one for you. We've watched the horrors of the refugee crisis unfolding in Ukraine. We have been reminded by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez that Syria remains the greatest refugee crisis in recorded history of which we are aware. And yet the response in Ukraine is so dramatically different. And I and other people have said, gee, what could possibly be the difference? Well, in case anybody was left wondering, and I don't know who or why you would be, but it turns out that according to a new report that was a collaboration between The Independent, Der Spiegel, Radio France, Lighthouse Reports, and other organizations. Okay, the setup. Ukraine is not lily white. Ukraine had developed a bit of a reputation as being a not terrible place to go and study because they were more open, they were more accepting on any number of fronts. So there were no small number of, there was a number of students from various countries on the African continent who went to Ukraine to study and had to bug the hell out just like ordinary Ukrainians did. Because they didn't want to be slaughtered. Yeah. They didn't want to be slaughtered by the tender mercies of Mother Russia either. So while we've all seen those videos of all of those Ukrainians getting on all of those trains and hightailing it to Poland, well, not quite the same for those African kids.
Not so much for the Black folks.
Because of how EU rules for so-called temporary protection works, Ukrainian citizens can go, however horrifyingly, because nobody wants to be a refugee, but they can go into EU countries. On the other hand, however,
mm-hmm.
The dozens of people who ain't white, well, they are being held in long-term detention centers in Poland and Estonia.
Mm-hmm.
Immigration prisons.
Mm-hmm.
Because why?
Yeah, and because, I don't know, Black.
Not European.
Robin, I have a question. Have you seen this on World News tonight?
I'm sorry, what?
Have you seen that being reported on, I don't know, World News tonight MSNBC?
No.
Okay.
They might get to it in a couple of weeks.
Anti-blackness is real. Anti-blackness is real, y'all. Israel. It don't just happen here. So, you know,
course, I hear about it because, you know, I listen to, oh, so if you guys, you know, when I talk about, you know, pick up a book or listen to something other than, you know, MSNBC, and check out the, you know, there's an app called KBLA 1580, and it's the only Black-owned progressive talk radio talk show on talk radio station west of the Mississippi or west of Texas. And it's a really good station. I actually got to, they had their first annual female, in honor of, speaking of Women's History Month, they had their first, their inaugural, actually, Women's Listeners Brunch yesterday. And I got invited to, and it was amazing. They actually, they have 13 female-led talk shows, that are, yeah, that, I mean, I'm sorry, female talk shows, talk show hosts, that they're either co-hosts or they host their own show, which is more than any radio station or television station that I can think of in the country. And I got to meet all of them yesterday. And I mean, they have, as a matter of fact, one of the hosts is a lawyer, and I actually walked up to her yesterday and I said, you know, I got a story for you, you know, a show idea for you. And she's like, oh, what is it? And I told her my story about my felony conviction, being on probation, you know, for 10 years and the whole thing about how there's no way. And I said, if I hadn't had adequate counsel, there's no way I would have been convicted of welfare fraud. I, you know, talking about the criminalization of poor Black women, and you know, because it really pisses me off. I think there's a stronger word for pissing me off, but like last night, I was watching. I don't know what made me watch some of this, but you know, the dropout about Elizabeth Holmes and this heifer. How much money? How many millions, hundreds of millions of dollars did she defraud people from? Yeah. And I'm not really upset because she defrauded, like, Betsy DeVos and the Waltons and all that. So I really don't care if they lost money. But she was convicted of how many counts, and she's not even in jail yet. And she intentionally defrauded these people. Her whole thing was a big fat fucking lie. But she's chilling in her $135 million house and all this. And yet. And they said she probably won't even hardly do it. If she does, if she even does go to jail, she probably won't do any hardly any jail time. And or I think about the people who, you know, stormed the Capitol on January the 6th. Did anybody really do any significant jail time for that, Bottom?
No.
Okay. And yet, I'm a felon. Okay. And when I told her my story, she's like, I definitely want to be in touch with you. So who knows? I said, I just got to know how many Black women were convicted of felonies under Gilgart, and it was fucking Gilgart City. And Gilgart City, and I wonder under Jackie Lacey as well. So who knows? So that part.
Well, you know, Tracy, you raised something earlier, and Lady B did as well. About, you know, not airing dirty laundry in front of the white folks. And lo and behold, earlier this evening, I'm in my little thought experiment, I referenced that time when neo-maxi Zoom dweeby Ben Shapiro, who couldn't think his way out of a wet paper bag, was told by a trans woman on a TV show, "Now you stop that, Ben, or you're gonna leave here in an ambulance." And he believed her. Well, leave it. I'm sure he is still from that day unto this, yea, verily, triggered. And so he ran straight to Twitter to say,
Should we be surprised that so many on the left now believe that microaggressions should be met with actual physical violence? They've been clear about this for years.
I'm sorry, I didn't know the goddamn Proud Boys were a left-wing organization. I didn't know that that was... Oh, wait, that this is the bunch that said that was all Antifa on January the 6th. And then there was some...
Right.
And then there was some right-wing woman named Rita Panahi who says...
It says something about Hollywood's warped moral compass that Will Smith got a standing ovation shortly after assaulting Oscars host Chris Rock. And it went...
He wasn't the host.
No, he wasn't. Then, of course, this, and you know, if you feel the need to drop the phone and run and eat dirt and run rabbits and drink pee and put onions in your socks, I'll understand.
If Will Smith was a white guy, he would have been led out of the Oscars in handcuffs. Then police would have thrown him in jail. There would be 1,000 media hit pieces about him being racist. He would be canceled for life. Instead, he won Best Actor. That's privilege.
Okay. Are you going to unpack all these?
I do find it interesting. This guy's name is Kyle Becker, who said that, but his handle is at Kylina Becker. Why?
Kylina?
K-Y-L-E-N-A
what?
Becker. And you remember years ago how I said, you know, the enemy of my friend is my friend. Remember that? I said that's a dangerous
right,
game
right.
to play. Remember Steve Schmidt from the Lincoln Project? Because you know you can't turn on MSNBC with somebody wanting his hot take on something because he's anti-Trump.
But he's still a Republican.
The Oscars have demonstrated the power of group psychology. The room is a hermetically sealed bubble where all Moors can be eradicated in a second. Do you want to understand how Trump happened? Watch the Oscars and the crowd reaction. The pull to belong is very powerful. The pull to conform to what is happening around you is a powerful tide. Applause for assault in a tuxedo in California is the same as applause for assault while wearing a red hat in Alabama. That was a crime. There was no virtue attached to it. None whatsoever.
And if there's something to hate out of all this in particular, it's the fact that it afforded these right-wingers a chance to say, see?
See, that's just like a...
And of course, Clanny Oakley, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert, had to get into it too.
Seems the Oscars were a mostly peaceful show.
And then Candy... You know, Adolf Hitler was a nice guy, and it would have been okay if he would have just stayed in Germany.
Oh, no. Oh, God. What did she say?
You know, it's funny. I bet you never thought you could find somebody to loathe more than Tommy Lauren. And then Black...
Wait a minute. Where has she been?
And then Black Tommy Lauren shows up.
And then Black Tommy Lauren shows up. What is she?
So somebody called America First Stacy tweeted at her and said, "Can't wait to hear your Will Smith take." And Candio said, "Wait, that was an album by the Cars, wasn't it? Never mind." Candio said, "I think not enough is being said about Chris Rock," and tagged him. "I think not enough is being said about at Chris Rock. What an amazing class act." And he's clean, too.
He's clean, too. You know, that's going to be our new tagline, right? To everything. And he's clean, too.
He's a very educated, articulate man.
If she said, no, she didn't say articulate.
No.
You making that up?
I made that part up.
What an amazing class act.
Yeah. So now, according to, among other people, Steve Schmidt, who said Red Hat in Alabama, no, it's the same thing as January the 6th. That's what he's thinking.
Right. Right, but I'm saying, how can you equate, which, again, I've always, you know, the Lincoln Project and the Never Trumpers, they've always been suspect with me because, again, they're still fucking Republicans. So that means they still have no problems with gerrymandering. They still have no problems with voter suppression. They still have no problems with anything and everything that the Republican Party stands for. They just don't want to deal with Trump. So, fuck you.
What, they don't like the fact that Trump said the quiet part out loud?
Right. They're like, motherfucker, you're supposed to keep that shit under wraps. So, you know, at least have the illusion that we, you know, that we're not racist pricks. You know, but we all know this. So he is, you know, but again, so fuck, you know, as much as I like Edna Navarro to a certain extent, you know, she's still a goddamn Republican.
Yeah.
And the project, they're still goddamn Republicans. The only way I would ever trust a Republican is when they say, I am no longer a Republican. Fuck, you know,
that's usually followed by, I am now an independent, which means you're still a Republican.
No. Right. That's what I'm saying. Like Rick Caruso, you know, he's running, he's not a Republican. I don't know. I think he said he's a Democrat. Fuck you. You're not a Democrat. You're just saying you're a Democrat because, you know, if you run as a Republican, you ain't got a snowball chance in hell to be the next, to become the mayor of Los Angeles. Ain't gonna fucking happen. Like, that's like what happened with this fucking, you know, recall election. Everybody knows that there's no way that anybody is going to win, a Republican is going to win in a general election against a Democratic incumbent in the state of California. Fuck that. You know, they took a chance this last month thinking that they were going to beat Gavin Newsom, and they're like, nope. And all that goddamn money that the state of California wasted that could have been, you know, used, I don't know, to help California. Robin, I'm just real tired.
Well, you'll get a kick out of this because whatever else is happening in the world, the ongoing onslaught against Ukraine, the kerfuffle over Joe Biden saying that Putin's got to go, Genghis Khan has just sent out an official release from the 45 office.
Oh, God. Dolt 45?
Yep, Dolt 45. About a golf shot he hit.
Say what?
On the seventh hole, which was playing 181 yards into a slight wind, I hit a 5-iron, which sailed magnificently into a rather strong wind with approximately 5 feet of putt, whereupon it bounced twice and then went clank into the hole. It's in the hole. It's in the hole. The Cinderella story.
No, I added the part from Caddyshack.
These great tour players noticed it before I did because their eyes are slightly better, but on that one hole only, their swings weren't. There's a lot of chatter about it, quite exciting. And people seem to be asking for the facts, which is, of course, no one was asking for the facts, but he desperately wanted to brag about a hole-in-one.
Can we just shut this pothole? Speaking of holes.
I made a hole-in-one.
So, with everything that's going on in the world right now, Robin,
And that's what you get from him.
You know, the world. And that's what, you know. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold up. You mean he didn't make a comment about last time?
You're just going to make me ask, aren't you?
You started it.
What? Okay. No.
What?
But he did. But he did tweet a picture of Clarence Thomas's head photoshopped. I guess I'm too culturally illiterate from this. It might be Will Smith. Purple coat. No, Willy Wonka. It's Willy Wonka. It has to be Willy Wonka. Because that's the. Hold on a minute. Dang it, Annette's usually really good at this. I have to know now. Because this is just so bizarre. And it's about Clarence Thomas.
Glad to see Clarence Thomas is healthy and doing well.
Of course you are.
And I don't know if it's Willy Wonka or maybe it's Will Smith with Clarence Thomas's head on. I got nothing. Yeah, by the way, I had a note from Arnold there, there's a split of opinion on this whole thing. Will Smith is massively overrated. What he did is basically a little bitch move that wasn't even a real punch. Chris Rock has always had a smart mouth. This is my problem with our culture. Let him make a fucking joke. Doesn't have to be liked by everybody. I have thick skin. I was taught that I have to have it, and now everybody's offended by everything. And it seemed, I mean, the fracture lines seem pretty clear. Candio says it was a microaggression. You know, flat out mocking a woman for an autoimmune disorder? Really? I lost Tracy. And you know, everybody doesn't have to agree on everything in this community. I happen to like just about everything Will Smith did except Wild Wild West, and there's just a funny backstory behind that. What is that? That's Clarence Thomas's head superimposed onto another photograph, but you're more culturally literate than I. What's that from? The hat and the little boy made me think maybe it's Willy Wonka, but then I'm wondering, is that Will Smith from what?
I've got nothing. And consider the craziness that's gone on, I don't even want to know.
I mean, I'm trying to look at the word.
Where?
There's a word on the building there. Drafenzo.
I got nothing.
There's a bow tie there though, so I'm thinking.
It looks like a Willy Wonka jacket, but
yeah,
I would be daring to say.
Okay, it's just so bizarre. So it's apparently Clarence Thomas's head on Willy Wonka. Oh, I can't. I just can't. Oh, but speaking of Clarence Thomas, the January 6th Commission says that they may have some interest in speaking to Ginny. Leah New York says hi, Annette. She's already out. It's cold. It's very cold back here. There's no heat. And so she came in here and went out again. By the way, thank you, Lady B. Thank you for answering Joey and Giraffe and Junior and Joey 2, the Kangaroos Challenge. We are now down to $1,680 to go to finish March. Friday will be April Fool's Day. March ends on Thursday. And we'll sweat out the final few days of the month. By the way, I mentioned Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro is butt hurt by Harry's Razors. Jeremy Boring, no, really, that's his name, Boring, just like Ben Shapiro. He's God King of the Daily Wire. And he and Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby, Ben Shapiro, are going into the razor business. And, of course, there was a shitty little comment. This Jeremy Boring creep said, "Do you remember when there were two genders and only one and a half of them had to shave their mustaches?" Ha, 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 ha. A guy was wearing a fur-trimmed cape and a crown and sitting on a throne and said, "Our country is in trouble. Conservatives are being canceled by Hollywood, the media, universities, and now Harry's Razors." Because Harry's Razors is what? Giving money to woke corporations who don't think you deserve their product. And I guess it's because Harry's Razors aren't transphobic enough. They've given, Harry's Razors has some $8 million to nonprofit ventures, mental health assistance to 900,000 men, including students, veterans, black men, men of color, and those within the LGBTQ communities. So they gave money to the LGBTQ community, and this guy, I guess he only wants straight people to shave with his... Wait, are they straight razors? Oh, the culture wars get so goddamn tiresome. It's just, and of course, Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby, little Ben Shapiro, whose wife has apparently never gotten wet. Well, he apparently has a hard time shaving without cutting himself. And, well, he hates trans women, trans men, trans anything, you know. So on to a little something more as we wind down the evening. The Supreme Court... Because for some reason or another, we've been talking about them of late, seeing as how the spouse of an insurrectionist is sitting on their... There's a Medicaid rule that sort of was before the court, brought by the state of Texas, Texas versus Commissioner of Internal Revenue. We're still litigating the Affordable Care Act and portions thereof, goddammit. And part of the Affordable Care Act says that
Individual states have to fund their Medicaid programs on an actuarially sound basis. But Congress didn't say what actuarially sound means because, well, you'd think that actuaries would actually have a better understanding of actuarial soundness than maybe, oh, I don't know, Lauren Bobblehead Boebert. So Texas and four other states sued the Health and Human Services Department. They wanted their money back. Money that they had paid to HMOs for tax reimbursements. And, well, the Supreme Court today said, nah, we're denying cert on this. Go away. But, of course, Sammy Bad Breath, Alito, Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas, and Ann's boy Neil Gorsuch were all so they had such a sad that they couldn't get in there and fuck with the Affordable Care Act and people's ability to have health care. Doggone it. And they deemed it an important separation of powers question. And Sammy Bad Breath said that the
we have a rule that prevents delegating regulatory authority to private entities to ensure the government remains accountable to the public.
Oh, you silly, silly, silly man. Republicans don't write legislation. They're written by legislative chop shops, like the Family Policy Council or the Alliance Defending Freedom or the Heritage Foundation, and sometimes just by the industries themselves. But this is different, right? Because IOKIYAR, always. And by the way, I think Dr. Oz has since been shit-canned. Dr. Oz was bitterly hurt because the Hatch Act says you can't serve on an appointed presidential council if you're running for office, and he is running for Senate in Pennsylvania. And so the White House asked him for his resignation. I'll never quit. You'll have to fire me. So they fired him. And, oh, what a shame to see something like the President's Council on Nutrition and Fitness politicized. Shut up. Dude obviously has no idea how the Hatch Act works or the fact that he should not be on the President's Council if he's running for office. I mean, if he wins, was he planning on resigning then? What? But further proof that the White House is paying attention, they filled his slot by appointing Chef Jose Andres of World Central Kitchen, who is busily feeding the refugees from Ukraine right now, and who should probably somewhere along the way get a Nobel Peace Prize. Jesus, these people. No. What's that? Ben Shep, jackass. Suman writes, did I hear you say that jackass's wife never got wet? I can believe it, but how do you know? No need to answer. I'm kidding. It just seemed funny. Because he told the world. I'm married. I have a wife, and she never gets wet. And it remains to this day the single greatest self-own in the history of the entire freaking internet. Oh, breaking news. Dear God. We'll be done with this by tomorrow, I swear. Will Smith went on Instagram and wrote, "Violence in all forms is poisonous and destructive. My behavior at last night's Academy Awards was unacceptable and inexcusable. Jokes at my expense are a part of the job, but a joke about Jada's medical condition was too much for me to bear, and I reacted emotionally.
I would like to publicly apologize to you, Chris. I was out of line and I was wrong. I am embarrassed and my actions were not indicative of the man I want to be. There is no place for violence in a world of love and kindness. This story is developing. It's still developing because there's, as yet, no similar apology from Chris Rock saying, I shouldn't have engaged in an act of vicious cruelty against a woman who had done me no harm by joking about her medical condition. And this story is developing. Yeah, keep developing. I don't know if it has, I don't know if it's happened yet, but Sean Penn was having a hissy prior to the Oscars. He said that if Volodymyr Zelensky was not invited to speak at the Oscars broadcast, he would personally smelt his Academy Awards live in front of the entire world. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No word yet on the smelting. Maybe there will be video. Now, I mentioned Lauren Bobblehead Boobert earlier, Clanny Oakley. The cue ball never falls far from the QAnon tree. And now she is going after Judge KBJ. Because, of course, she has. Oh, my God, Ron and Raleigh. That's a cowbell. As to Ben Shapiro and his poor wife, Ron and Raleigh says, it brings new meaning to the concept of dry humping. That poor woman. That poor woman. Well, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert is after Judge KBJ, who, by the way, has more actual trial judge and trial experience and litigation experience than at least four members of the Supreme Court combined. Combined. Just saying. Now she has declared that there is a vast conspiracy, because she's a cue ball, to get, it's hard to even enunciate it, to put Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson on the court to protect pedophiles.
The reason KGB was, the reason KJB was picked becomes more and more obvious as the days go on.
And this is because a guy in Maine who ran a spoiler campaign that helped put Charlie Pierce referred to as the human bowling jacket, Paul LePage, a maggot, in as governor of Maine years back, the guy's name is Elliot Cutler, and this past Friday, he got hauled in on child pornography charges. Okay. And in those child pornography charges, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert saw sure proof that Q was right all along. Again, her tweet, the reason KJB was picked becomes more and more obvious as the days go on. A well-known Democrat mega donor in Maine was arrested on, you guessed it, child pornography charges. Yeah, there's only one problem. Not a Democrat. But of course, she either doesn't know that because she's the winner of this year's Dunning-Kruger Award, she doesn't know what she doesn't know, or else she did know it and was deliberately lying because, well, she's Clanny Oakley. And Jamil Bowie over at the New York Times pointed out, the belief that Democrats are pedophiles and at its top levels the Democratic Party is an elaborate pedophilia ring looms large in the QAnon conspiracy theory, which is something like orthodoxy for a substantial portion of the Republican base. And then this. We talk about it, and we talk about it, and we talk about it, and Lord God Almighty, we talk about it. And every now and then you get a little proof. Last year, right before the 2020 election, or year before last, right before the 2020 election, there was a poll. Half of the people who said they were going to, by God, vote for Genghis Khan said that they agreed with the statement, top Democrats are involved in elite child sex trafficking rings. Then last year, the Public Religion Research Institute did another poll, and 15% of all Americans, not just maggots, all Americans said, the levers of power are controlled by a cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles. 15%. That's some 52.5 million Americans. If it's just Americans generally, not registered voters. That's the population of, God, how many states? West Virginia, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee. Oh, wait a minute. I think I see a pattern emerging. Jesus Christ. And Jamil Bowie said, where the Republican base goes, the politicians follow. That was true with the Tea Party, it was true with Trump, and now it's true with QAnon. And he is absolutely correct. And that's why we are the mess we are. It seems fairly clear to me. It's why this entire country is pulled taut as a goddamn bowstring. So I hope, you know, when we gather here and we carry on, we have our fun, raise a little ruckus and whatnot. I hope maybe there's a little bit of a stress relief. And I hope there can continue to be. And somehow or another, I hope a miracle of some sort transpires and we can wipe out the 1,680 hole that we're in, trying to finish off last week and the rest of, and up through Thursday of this one. Bernadette says, Will just raised my respect for him. That's what I expect from someone in his position. Chris should immediately expedite the same. We'll see if he does. I hope so. Oh, and don't forget this little gem, says Darlene. Trump's plan to overturn the 2020 election results amounted to a coup. It's absolutely true. The that's from an actual court finding, as written by Judge David Carter in the case trying to keep and this ruling came out today. I mean, it's a damn blockbuster. He was only ruling on the matter of a few emails. He wasn't ruling on the overall issue. But Judge David Carter found it necessary in dealing with John Eastman and Nitwit Nero. He said, based on the evidence, the court finds that it is more likely than not that President Trump and Dr. Eastman dishonestly conspired to obstruct the joint session of Congress on January 6, 2021. Now, the case was civil, and again, it had to do with turning over documents. but it is a significant finding nonetheless, because that more likely than not language is basically the same kind of language that a grand jury uses. Is it more likely than not that a crime was committed? And if the answer to that question is yes, then is it more likely than not that the person being considered by the grand jury is the person who committed the crime? That's a shorthand way of saying, why has this orange shit stain not been indicted? Although he can't say that, and he didn't say that. But it does mark the first time that a federal court has made a finding that he committed a crime, may have committed a crime, while in office. One wonders what the response of Merrick Garland was to that. Oh, shit. Right? Sure makes, well, not, I mean, it doesn't relate to the same thing, but it makes the new Manhattan DA, Alvin, what's his last name, look even worse. And so it's time to get out of here. Last thing. Billable Rick says Trump's hole-in-one. Are you sure that Trump wasn't really talking about his long-ago rendezvous with Stormy Daniels at the Beverly Hills Hilton rather than golf, just asking for a friend who got a real hole-in-one? Well, your friend got two, didn't they? No, he swears he has witnesses. But we all know that Trump cheats at golf, so, you know, there's that, too. So, that's it. Thanks, everybody, for your patience, and sometimes we just have to get these little godforsaken annoyances out of the way, and we got it out of our system. Yay. And we'll be back up to our hip waders again tomorrow. I imagine Dan Scavino, the guy who used to write Trump's tweets back when he still had a Twitter account, is having a sad today because the White House has declared that no, they will not protect Dan Scavino from a January 6th subpoena. It was back middle of this month when the White House sent the letter to Scavino's pettifogger and said that they don't even want to sit in on a Scavino deposition with the House. They don't want to be anywhere near it. And Scavino responded by saying, well, do they even have the power to make that an executive privilege decision relating to an earlier administration? Why, yes, that's really, 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 really settled law, Danny boy. Squirm. Squirm, you worm. And again, thanks, everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. I'm sorry we lost one this evening. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you, Lady B, this evening. Thank you to Joey and Giraffe and Junior and Joey 2 for the challenge. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to Pinch Hit Midweek Chat Room Utility Moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, for joining in. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is always HeadOn.live. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Now a union shop. Please stay safe. Looks like there may be boosters on the way, a second booster for those of us over 50. Although I guess the CDC isn't going to recommend it. It's just going to be like, if you want, whatever. But there's data to show that the next booster also continues to cut down on the ability of the virus to send people to their graves. So I'll be looking for it to come out. But if it's not recommended by the CDC, I wonder if it'll be free. And that means something to an uninsured person like me. At any rate, wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, wear those masks. And devil take the hindmost for anybody who wants to say a word about it. Because I want our community all together. And to lose no one to the virus. I hope we haven't. And, of course, if somebody comes towards you blathering about, KBJ's been put in there to protect elite pedophiles, avoid that woman like the plague. Because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.